Hi there, and welcome to this deep dive. This one's tailored specifically for you, especially if you're an Accountancy.com student working through ACCA PM. Today, we're getting into Syllabus Area A1.
That's right, Management Information Systems.
Sounds a bit technical, maybe.
It can seem that way, but basically think of it as, well, the company's digital brain, you know? We're looking at how all that data flows, how it gets turned into something useful.
And how it actually helps people manage things better.
Yeah.
Especially performance.
Exactly. That's the core of it for PM. It's all about making management possible through good information.
Okay. And just so you know what we're drawing on, we've got your accountancy notes handy. Plus, we've pulled key bits from recent ACCA examiner reports.
And the official syllabus guide, too. So it's all properly sourced, aiming to give you the right focus.
Right. The mission really is just to break A1 down for you. Make it clear.
Yeah. Make it straightforward. Keep it friendly. And really zero in on what you'll likely need for the exam. Let's make it make sense.
Okay, let's dive in then. First big question. Mm-hmm. What exactly is the role of these information systems in a company?
Well, at its most basic level, an information system's job is to collect raw data.
Raw data being things like?
Oh, you know, individual sales slips, clocking in times for workers, materials moving out of the warehouse, just the facts of daily operations. Then the system processes that data, turns it into meaningful information.
Like reports or graphs.
Exactly, like a performance report, a sales trend graph, maybe a budget comparison, something managers can actually use to understand what's happening.
And the final step is getting that useful info to the right people.
Crucially, yes. And who the right people are depends on what level of management we're talking about. For the exam, you really need to get your head around these three levels.
Okay, let's break them down, starting at the top.
Right, you've got strategic planning. Think board level, CEO, senior management. Their focus is big picture, long term. Where's the company going? New products, new markets.
So they need summarized information and probably stuff from outside the company too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Highly summarized internal data, but also lots of external info, competitor actions, market trends, economic forecasts, maybe even political shifts. They need that broad view for those major directional decisions.
Okay, strategic level. Then moving down.
We get to management control. This is your middle management layer, department heads, regional managers.
Their job is more about keeping things on track with the plan.
Precisely. They're looking internally, monitoring performance against budgets and targets. Are we hitting our sales goals? Are costs under control? So the information they need is more detailed and strategic, but still summarized. Think monthly performance reports, variance analysis, efficiency metrics for their specific area.
Right, making sure that different parts of the ship are running smoothly towards the destination set by the strategic level.
Well put. And then right down at the operational coalface, you have operational control.
Day-to-day stuff. Supervisors, team leaders.
Exactly. They need real-time, very detailed internal information to manage immediate tasks. Like which orders need processing right now? What are the current stock levels of component X? Which staff are available for this shift? It's about managing the here and now efficiently.
So one piece of data, say a sale, might be recorded at the operational level.
Yes, by the transaction processing system, which we'll get to.
Then summarized for a middle manager sales report.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even contribute to a tiny part of a strategic market share analysis.
That's exactly how it often works. The systems are interconnected, serving different needs with the same core data, just presented differently.
But getting that system set up and running, that's not cheap, is it? Which brings us to the costs and benefits.
Definitely not cheap. It's a major investment for most companies. You need to really weigh the pros and cons.
Yeah, let's talk costs first. What are we looking at beyond just buying the software?
Oh, the software license or development cost is often just the start. You've got the hardware it runs on servers, computers, networks. Then there's the huge cost of actually implementing it, getting it installed, configured, maybe migrating old data. That takes time and specialist skills.
And training people to use it properly.
Big one. Training staff is crucial and costly. Plus, ongoing maintenance, software updates, technical support.
And security must be a massive cost factor these days.
Huge. Protecting all that company and customer data from breaches or cyber attacks requires constant investment in security measures and expertise. It's non-negotiable.
Okay, so the costs are significant. What about the payoff? What are the benefits?
The number one benefit, the reason companies spend all that money is better decision making. Simple as that.
Because managers have the right information when they need it.
Exactly. At all three levels we just discussed. Faster decisions, more informed decisions.
And that should lead to tangible results like improved efficiency.
Yes, streamlining processes, better cost control, because you can actually see where the money's going, spot inefficiencies.
Maybe even gain a competitive advantage.
Hopefully, yes. If you can react faster or understand your market better because your information systems are superior.
But here's a tricky point, isn't it? Is more information always better? Or more accurate information?
Ah, now you're hitting on a really key exam concept. It's not about getting 100% perfect, complete, instantly available information at any cost.
This is that point from the examiner reports, right?
Yes. The September-December 2022 report specifically mentioned this. They showed a graph, actually. The idea is there's a cost to getting information, and there's a benefit or value derived from it. Spending more might get you slightly better information, but does that tiny improvement justify the huge extra cost?
Probably not always.
Usually not. There's an optimum point. You want to find the point where the net benefit, that's the total benefit minus the total cost, is at its highest.
The sweet spot.
The sweet spot, exactly. Maximize the net benefit. Don't just aim for maximum information or maximum accuracy if the cost skyrockets disproportionately. That's a crucial trade-off to understand.
Okay, that makes sense. Cost-benefit thinking applied to data. So how does this data actually get around? You mentioned the digital plumbing.
Yeah, the basic infrastructure that makes it all work. You need to know the main components.
Like the internet.
Yeah, the internet. That's your connection to the outside world. Essential for e-commerce, customer websites, online marketing, talking to suppliers, researching what competitors are up to.
Your public face, essentially.
Pretty much. Then internally, you often have an intranet.
Like a private internet just for the company.
Exactly. It's a secure website only employees can access. Great for sharing internal news, policies, documents, training materials.
And distributing those management reports we talked about.
Perfect for that. Gets reports out quickly and securely without clogging up email or using paper.
And tying it all together are networks and wireless tech.
Mm-hmm. Networks connect all the computers and devices. Wireless technology, like Wi-Fi, just does it without needing cables everywhere.
Which allows for more flexibility. Laptops, tablets working in different areas.
Yeah, much more flexibility and easier access to the systems. Now, for the exam, you probably won't need to design a network.
Okay, yep.
But you might need to say, in a scenario, how using an intranet could help solve a communication problem, or how wireless access could improve efficiency for salespeople on the road. Understand the purpose.
Got it. Understand the what it does, not the how it's built. Okay, let's tackle the alphabet soup, then the different types of information systems.
Right, different systems for different tasks. Let's start at the foundation, TPS.
Transaction processing systems.
Yep, these are the workhorses. They capture and process the huge volume of routine day-to-day transactions.
The sales going through the till, payroll runs, supplier invoices coming in.
Exactly that kind of stuff. Recording the basic activities of the business. They're the source of all the detailed raw data.
Okay, TPS handles the detail. What comes next?
Building on that, you have MIS management information systems.
For the middle managers.
Primarily, yes.
Yeah.
MIS takes the data collected by the TPS, aggregates it, summarizes it, and turns it into routine reports.
The reports they use for that management control function we talked about.
Precisely. Weekly sales figures, monthly cost reports, variance analysis comparing actual spend to budget. They help managers monitor performance and spot exceptions.
Okay, so TPS feeds MIS. What about the top level?
For the strategic decision makers, you have EIS Executive Information Systems.
The CEO's dashboard.
Kind of, yeah. EIS provides a very high-level, often graphical, view of the business's health and key external factors. It uses summarized data from the MIS and often external data, too.
So they can see key performance indicators, market share trends, that sort of thing, at a glance.
Exactly. It's designed for quick insights to support those big strategic decisions, not deep dives into operational detail.
TPS for transactions, MIS for reports, EIS for strategy. Makes sense. But there's a big one that tries to link everything up, isn't there? ERP.
Yes. Enterprise Resource Planning Systems. These are really significant and definitely something the examiners like to focus on.
Why are they so important?
Because their whole aim is integration. An ERP system tries to bring all the different functional areas of a business, finance, HR, manufacturing, sales, supply chain, onto one single system using one shared database.
So everyone's working off the same information.
That's the goal. Instead of finance having its system and production having a separate one and sales another one. which often don't talk to each other very well.
Leading to delays and errors and confusion.
Exactly. And ERP aims to eliminate that by having one version of the truth in a central database that all modules access in real time.
And you mentioned this comes up in exams.
Oh, yes. This December 2023 examiner's report is a prime example. There was a question about a company, Daisy Co., and the benefits of implementing an ERP.
And the key was?
The key, according to the report, wasn't just listing generic ERP benefits like improved efficiency or better communication.
You had to link it specifically to Daisy Co.'s situation.
Precisely. Good Answers identified problems mentioned in the Daisy Co. scenario. Maybe they said departments worked in silos, or order processing was slow, or inventory management was poor. Then you had to explain how specific features of an ERP, like the shared database, or the standardized processes, or the real-time visibility, would directly address those specific problems at Daisy Co.
Ah, okay. So application is everything.
Yep.
Don't just state the feature. Explain how it solves the problem in the context you're giving.
That's the crucial skill they're testing there. Apply the knowledge.
Makes sense. One more acronym. CRM.
Customer Relationship Management. This one does what it says on the tin, really.
Focuses purely on the customer side of things.
Entirely. CRM systems manage all interactions and data related to customers. Tracking leads, managing the sales pipeline, recording customer service contacts, analyzing purchasing history.
All aimed at understanding customers better and improving relationships.
Yep. Building loyalty, improving service, maybe targeting marketing more effectively. It's all about managing that customer life cycle.
Okay, wow. We've covered a lot of ground there. Let's try and pull the threads together. A quick recap.
Good idea.
So we started by thinking of information systems as that digital brain, taking raw data and turning it into useful info for decisions.
And we saw how crucial it is to tailor that information for the three different management levels: strategic, management control, and operational control. Each needs something different.
Then we look at the vital cost-benefit balance. Remembering that exam point, it's about maximizing the net benefit. Don't just chase perfection if the cost outweighs the extra value.
Right. Find that sweet spot. We also touched on the basic plumbing, internet, intranet, networks, wireless, the foundations that let information flow.
And then we decoded the alphabet soup. TPS for the daily grind.
MIS for middle management reports.
EIS for the top level view.
CRM for customer focus.
And the big one, ERP, aiming for that all-important integration across the whole business.
With that crucial exam reminder about ERP, apply its benefits directly to solve the specific problems you read about in this scenario, just like with the Daisy Co. example.
You know, looking back, this A1 section feels really foundational, doesn't it? It's not just one topic box to tick.
Absolutely. Think about it, all the performance management techniques you learn later in PM, like budgeting, variance analysis, performance measurement, they all depend on having good information systems underneath.
You can't manage performance if you don't have reliable, timely data coming through.
Exactly. Rubbish in, rubbish out, or maybe no information in, no management possible. Good systems are the bedrock.
So key takeaways for your exam preparation.
Definitely know those three levels of management and the typical system supporting them. Understand the cost versus value of information concept, think net benefit. Be able to briefly explain the purpose of TPS, MIS, EIS, ERP, and CRM. And I can't stress this enough, practice applying system benefits, especially for ERP, to scenario details. Link the solution to the problem.
Take the facts from the question and connect them clearly to how, say, an ERP would help that company improve.
That's where the marks are.
Okay, final thought to leave you with then. We live in an age of, well, data overload, don't we? Everyone's drowning in data.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the real question isn't just about having systems, but about how the actual design of those systems, and critically, how people use them, truly determines whether a company sinks or swims. Whether they can actually find the valuable insights hidden in all that noise.
That's a great point. It's not just the tech. It's the intelligence and how it's set up and used. Something to definitely mull over as you carry on with your PM studies.